We now know the meaning of peace. Voldar, who had succeeded Uyora, had already returned to Caldas with 375 divisions of Corinthian craft. He was reunited with his wife Clivienne, his family and friends after an absence of many months. Kashendo also gave the news that Uyora was progressing well and would soon resume his post as commander of the Corinthian fleet. Both Uyora and Voldar would soon make personal contact with Q bases on Earth again. Then Kashendo mentioned another matter which concerned this planet. Recent Confederation patrols under the direction of Commander Talance of Byron had made the disturbing discovery that some Earth-made satellites in orbit around our planet contained atomic devices. Kashendo said that these devices would cause serious destruction should they fall to Earth. He continued, "Why does man place such dangerous devices in orbit around the world on which they depend for their very existence? This is certainly causing us great concern. But, my friends, do not fear, for we have full confidence that we can deal with the situation. If necessary, these satellites will be neutralized before they endanger life on your planet. Our patrols will therefore continue in the interests of your whole population, for we are concerned about the safety of all our friends who live on Earth and also for the millions who know nothing of the dangers lurking in your skies." Note: it is interesting to note here that a number of extraterrestrial visitors to Earth have mentioned armed satellites in orbit around our planet, placed there by factions on Earth itself. The diminutive beings from Reticulum called this to the attention of Bill Herman in Charleston several times. The Pleiadians making contact in Switzerland also told their contactee the same thing, and also that the Apollo 13 was carrying an atomic device on the aborted moon landing mission. There is a reference to this here also, and we have found no evidence that either witness ever heard of the other. They both expressed grave concern about the excessive and possibly irreversible pollution of our upper atmosphere and its dangers. They all seem to deplore the excessive proliferation of atomic sciences of all kinds, saying that the dangers are irreversible. What I am about to tell you now, you will find very hard to believe. But a few of your Earth months ago, a space vehicle was launched from Earth to your moon. It carried an atomic warhead which was capable of destroying many square miles of the moon's surface. A Byronian astral craft tracked its flight path from your planet and neutralized it while in orbit around the moon before it could make its final approach and dive to the target surface. Why do people of your planet indulge in these careless experiments? Do they not realize that they are endangering their own safety? What about the repercussions throughout your solar system? Men of Earth still have so much to learn about their own environment, the very planet upon which they dwell. And when they travel in space, instead of carefully exploring what they find, they have to test their destructive ability instead. Kashendo said that now the war was over, there was more time for the Confederation to concern itself with Earth. One matter that alarmed them was the increasing impurity of our atmosphere. He hinted that more craft would be seen in our skies as measurements were made at various levels around our planet. "We are alarmed at the quantity of impurities which our patrol craft have found in the upper layers of your atmosphere. These particles are forming a blanket which will eventually engulf your entire planet. We have decided to test at lower altitudes within your atmosphere." My friends, you may be asking, why does the Confederation concern itself with Earth, who is not even a member of the group? There are many like you whom we are concerned about. We feel it is our sacred duty to safeguard you against dangers which you seem to know very little about. We hope that one day we will be allowed to fly our craft freely in your skies, over your breathtaking seas and across your mighty continents. Then we will be welcomed on equal terms as friendly neighbors. But now, my friends, I must end this transmission. This is Kashendo of Melka saying farewell for the present. In the immediate post-war months, there were regular radio transmissions to Edwin's Q group, and a variety of subjects were discussed, including religion, telepathy and reincarnation. It was Talance who mentioned that they found the existence of the many religions on Earth very surprising, and Kashendo spoke about the various races here. Remember that what is discussed here is only a few hours transcribed from hundreds of hours of direct radio transmissions to the Q group at Pintown. It is difficult to select what may be of the greater interest to the most people. The selection has had to be ours. Taylance said, "It seems strange that you should have so many religions. Although they are differently named, they all praise the Almighty One and their main object seems to be the same. So it does not matter which religion you belong to, as long as you believe in and acknowledge the Divine One, you are doing the right thing. In the Confederation we have only one religion. We all believe that there is an Almighty One, although the planets differ in their methods of worship. On my planet Byron, we sing our praises out loud, yet on Calder they meditate and worship in silence. Other planets vary again in their attitude to prayer. On Grandar, they kneel and pray in their worship of the divinity. Although outward forms of worship may differ, we all believe in the same Divine One." Kashando spoke about the various races we have on Earth and said, "This is an intriguing subject, but some of the mystery is known to the Confederation. We know that long before we first visited your planet, there were other visitors. When our ancient pioneers arrived there, they found evidence that whoever came before them must have come from systems far beyond those known to us. It is possible that they wished to colonize Earth. We do not know for certain whether this explains the many different races, but we do know that the race which you call the Red Indian, had ancestors who came from a faraway planet doomed to destruction. They were highly civilized and had mastered space travel. They left their home planet in a giant craft to search for new planets to colonize and reached Earth, and there they settled. It seems that they were abandoned by their people or were unable to return home, possibly for lack of fuel. Their craft was stranded and so they remained on Earth. They were forced to improvise and learn to live off the land. They made use of what they had and what they could find. They hunted the animals, and learned to use them for food and sustenance. We know about these people, for they were very intelligent as a race, and one of the early ones to occupy Earth. But what about the many other races you have? We can only assume that they too were space travelers, for we have definitely found the remains of many craft beneath your desert sands. Gigantic craft which are not from the Confederation. Should these remains be discovered, they would cause a sensation on Earth as they are of enormous proportions. They must have carried thousands of people. It is possible," he suggested, "that they never intended to return to their homes. Were they banished and perhaps sent away as punishment? We can only guess at the reason for their presence, but the evidence of their arrival from other planets is there, beneath the sands. This may be one reason why there are so many different races on Earth. Some of them are very aggressive and very primitive even in this day and age. I wonder if they were banished from their home planets on account of their aggressive behavior? And is this the cause of the aggression which is still evident today? When the Confederation carried out patrols beneath the surface of your oceans, they discovered many craft buried in the mud of the ocean floors. There is much evidence which will not be found soon, and much that has been lost. In another transmission I must tell you about the abandoned cities which lie beneath your Pacific Ocean, mysterious cities which must have been of great beauty before they disappeared. What catastrophe befell Earth? Who are the builders of these matchless cities?" But the next time Kashando spoke to Q-Base, it was on more mundane matters and not on the mysteries of the cities beneath the seas. He said, "We returned from our rest period one Earth day ago. Linda, whom you know is my Australian wife, has just returned with the children from a visit to her parents on Earth. What interesting things they brought back with them. We all had a wonderful time examining these and listening to the stories of the children and my beloved wife. They brought back photographs of the places they visited in Australia and around her home. They brought back happy memories of the places I visited during my period on Earth. But what I love best is the music. The songs and orchestral items which they brought with them. They had a strata recorder on which they were able to record many of your popular musical items. Oh my! You do have some strange music. But some are very nice. There is one particular melody I like. It is called Amazing Grace. During this transmission I shall play it to you, and in the future we may use it as a signature tune to indicate that we are about to transmit to you. All of us like it very much. Yes, I spent many hours listening to the programs they had recorded from the television stations. It was very interesting, but some we found very strange. But all in all, it brought much entertainment and laughter to us. Note, we also and other extraterrestrial visitors before these have speculated on the variety of human race here on Earth. The visitors seem to be in general agreement, however, that all human races on Earth came here from elsewhere, and a great variety of elsewheres, and that the evidence of their arrival and the remains of the ships of those stranded for one reason or another, may be found beneath our deserts and under our seas. The variety of races alone, they say, is testimony for the existence of human life elsewhere in the universe. Cashendo also mentioned two pet rabbits which were given to the children by their grandparents while in Australia, and they caused quite a stir because the children let them out of the box while still in the astral craft on the way back to Calder's. Their hilarious antics had the crew in stitches, while they hopped all over the instrument panels in the control center. On arrival in Calder's, they were carefully screened and isolated for a time to check for diseases and then returned to the children. These are the first rabbits on this planet, and Cashendo did not mention whether the two were a pair. We have visions of Australian rabbits overrunning Calder's. Now, as I promised, said Cashendo, I shall tell you what we know of your past incarnations in our own confederation. We have noted that in a great many extended UFO contact cases, the contactee is eventually identified as one of the contact group from earlier time, now incarnated in an Earth body, and being awakened to his true identity and the reason for contacting him instead of another. It is a difficult point because the Western mind does not accept reincarnation as a potential reality. It is a vast subject and there is much to tell. Let me begin by saying that the Master Register is stored in a gigantic memory bank on the mother planet of Grandeur. Here are the records of all beings who have lived lives in the Confederation. Cashendo explained that the giant computer is housed in 37 buildings which are arranged in a circle around a central building. Most of the staff work in the central building which collects the required data from memory cells, consisting of thousands of transparent tubes with crystals inside them. Each tube is capable of storing many thousands of symbols, and a memory bank consists of many thousands of these transparent tubes. The data is stored indefinitely, and when needed the controllers extract it in coded form which is then decoded to provide the required information. All the equipment is very complex and kept in a special atmosphere. Note here, for the first time Edwin and other members of the group around him are given some of their own past life history in the Confederation before incarnating in Earth bodies. This is a difficult aspect of this phenomenon to explain because it comes up in groups all over the world that are not in contact with each other and often never heard of the others. In most cases, those involved have not even accepted reincarnation as a theory until this point, but they get answers that then changes their whole belief system, and triggers memory keys that they can identify with, awakening them to a new reality. The memory cells store innumerable personal features and characteristics which reappear in the same individual through many lives. When a search is made, a special computer transmits the details of the required person to the whole range of memory cells. As soon as the features are recognized by a memory bank, a message is transmitted back to the central control building where it is recorded.